Thank you for that. We're going to be in Acts chapter 11 tonight. If you have a copy of the Bible, Acts chapter number 11, you can be seated. We'll be in Acts 11. I appreciate that song. Great message and song. Thank you, ladies. And Stevie, we don't want to forget you. Acts chapter 11 tonight. Have you ever seen a child do something that reminded you of their parents? Maybe you saw a child do something and you're like, I know exactly whose kid that is. Or maybe you look at your own children and you see them act in a way, and maybe you looked at your husband and said, that's your child, not mine. Or maybe you look at your grandchildren, you see some of yourself in them. During baseball season, which we're in the World Series right now, based on different times I've talked about sports, I know about three of you guys know or even care about that, but we are in the World Series right now. And during baseball season, me and Anna Shamsuddin, we go back and forth. And I am a San Francisco Giants fan, and her father is raising her into the wrong path as a LA Dodgers fan. Please pray for that family. And we go back and forth. And while me and Gina were on vacation, the earlier part of this month, a couple days before we got back, the Giants got eliminated from the playoffs. And the Dodgers won their playoff series, and they advanced to the next round. So we get back on a Sunday, and Anna walks up to me, and she had a look on her face. You know when kids have a look on their face, and you know they're up to something? She had that look on her face, and she was walking up to me, and I was thinking, she's going to say something. I didn't even, like, the whole baseball thing wasn't even on my radar, but I knew she was going to say something to me. So she walks up to me, and, you know, you would think, sweet little girl, hey, how was your vacation? So good to see you. No. It's the Dodgers won and the Giants lost. And then she points her finger right in my face. Ha ha. And the sad thing was I had no comeback at all. I was publicly disgraced by a 9-year-old and around everybody. And I thought, just like her father, a stinking Dodgers fan. That's funny, Anna's not in here. I asked her before, I was like, can I tell the story? She was like, yeah, and of course she's not in here tonight. But you think about missionaries, where do they come from? Where do missionaries come from? Do they come from Bible colleges? Does God like grow them on trees? Where do missionaries come from? I think missionaries have to be passionate about the gospel. So they have to come from a place that's passionate about the gospel. The first two missionaries were Barnabas and Paul. And in Acts 13, we see them sent out from the church at Antioch. It was a church that sent out missionaries. But to really understand Antioch and how their passion, how God formed the passion in their heart, we have to see where they started. And the church of Antioch started in Acts chapter 11. It's so interesting. If you read the book of Acts, you'll see how all these churches got started, and you'll kind of see how they formed and developed, and then you read about them later in Ephesians, Galatians, Philippians, all these places, but you can find out about how they started in the book of Acts. We're going to be in Acts chapter 11 tonight, and we're going to look at how the church at Antioch got started. The Bible says, now they which were scattered abroad, these are Christians that faced persecution upon the persecution that arose from Stephen. So this was in Jerusalem. So all these Christians in Jerusalem faced this persecution. They traveled to Phoenicia and Cyprus and to Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Catch that last part. They go to Antioch and they preach to nothing but the Jews. It's like, oh, you're a Gentile? Yeah, we're not preaching to you. You're a Gentile, we are not going to share the message of Jesus with you. What happened was, these Jewish people went to Jerusalem, and they had a perspective of how the gospel should be shared, of how church should be done, of how things should happen. And it was based on their last experience in their other place. So they come up to Antioch, and they're like, in Jerusalem, what did we do? We preached the word to the Jews. So we get to Antioch, guess what we're doing? We're preaching the word to the Jews. This is how we're doing things. And if you would have gone to those Jews and said, hey, those Gentiles need Jesus too, they would have pushed back and said, whoa, whoa, that's not how you do it. That's not how you do ministry. We're in Antioch, and we're going to do it like we did back in Jerusalem. And they're clear, they did it too. They preached the word to the Jews only. And I think the danger even today is the same danger that they had here. And that's getting wrapped up in a certain approach. And this is how we do things. I think our church, in the last year, we started these connection groups, and we started them back in March, and I was thinking about our connection groups. It's a blessing to see how God's using them, but it was a new approach for us. It was something we haven't done before, and I think this morning in Next Step 201, which is our new membership class, we had 9 people in there and 5 family units learning about church membership, learning what it means. We were in there talking about connection groups because we were talking about the structure and strategy of our church, and here I'm talking about connection groups. And there's a lady that was baptized baptism Sunday a few weeks ago, and she was asking me about connection groups. And we're talking about how we serve together and how we do fun events together. And she's asking me questions. And then there's somebody else in Next Step 201 that's only been in our church 6 months, and they kind of take over and start talking about all the good things about connection groups and why this person should join a connection group. And I'm just sitting there like, yeah, I'm not even going to teach. You're doing a better job than me. And I'm like, Whoa, 6 months ago, these people weren't in our church. And now because of connection groups, they've gotten connected. And now I'm sitting there watching them tell another new person about why they need to be in a connection group. And I'm like, whoa. We were in our connection group leader meeting this past week. And we brought up a couple people, different folks, that were very loosely connected to our church. But since our connection group system started, they have joined connection groups both semesters and come almost every Sunday. And I was like, that's awesome. I was talking to a church leader in the Bay Area a little while ago and kind of sharing our heart about connection groups and just some new things that we're doing with the connection groups. And they have a model of Sunday school, which it's a great model. We had it for a long time. And they were talking about how it just wasn't working for them, about how teachers were getting burnt out, and it just wasn't working very well. And I said, you know, you could try maybe connection groups or small groups. It might be something that you could try out. This is what they said, the church leader said. I want to do that so bad, but we can't do that. I was like, really? He leaned in, he said, yeah, we've had some of our church leaders come to me and say, if you even try it, we're leaving the church. And I thought, that is so tragic. A church has traded over effectiveness and efficiency for what they've always done. And I look in Acts chapter 19 and I think this is tragic because you have people that went to Antioch and they traded sharing the gospel and being effective and being biblical and being efficient over, this is what we've always done. I'm so thankful that when we introduced connection groups to you guys, and you had really not a whole lot of idea what they were going to look like, and what were they going to feel like, what was going to happen, you as a church said, I'll try it. You as a church said, let's try it. And now there are people that are coming to church that used to sit home on a Sunday morning and watch football, and now they're here. Because of the connection groups, now we have Next Step 101 and 201, and we have new members from last semesters of Next Step 201. We have 5 families that were in Next Step 201 this morning. You know why we were able to start that? Because of the connection groups. Before, as pastors, I can't lead that because I had a connection class, but now it's freed us up. And all I'm saying is this, is sometimes it takes a little different approach, maybe a little different look sometimes to be effective. And as long as we're biblical and solid, God can use that. In Acts chapter 19, these people started with a mindset of, this is how we've done it. This is how we're always going to do it. But something wrecked their world in verse number 20. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians. These are Greek-speaking Gentiles. So there's men from a different place. They come here to Antioch, and they spake unto the Grecians. They spake unto Jesus. They spake unto the people. And what did they do? They preached the Lord Jesus. Whoa! You're talking to Gentiles about Jesus? Whoa. That's not how we do it here. But there were these people from Cyprus and Cyrene that they prioritize the gospel. And they go there and they don't look at color, they don't look at nationality, they don't look at any of that. And they say, that's a human being. They need Jesus. I want to share Jesus with that person. Verse number 21, reading on. And the hand of the Lord was upon them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. What would have happened if nobody would have shared the message of Jesus with those Gentiles? Those people wouldn't have been saved. But they came in saying, let's share Jesus, and people were saved. Verse number 22. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. Because remember, the church, because of the from the original church in Jerusalem, those Jewish Christians came to Antioch. The people in Jerusalem hear about it, and they're like, whoa, this is crazy. They send forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Like, hey, we got to send Barnabas to check this out. You know, I mean, if it was today, you could like post pictures on Facebook and stuff, and they could have posted a picture of them sharing Jesus with a Gentile, and it would have been like, oh my goodness, I'm not following them anymore or whatever. But they didn't have that. So Barnabas goes to Antioch to see what happens. Now notice what Barnabas does in verse 23. When he came, he had seen the grace of God. He sees people put their faith in Jesus. He was glad. And he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. Earlier in the passage, what happens? People are saying, I'm not sharing Jesus with Gentiles. That's not how we did it. That's not our approach. And then a few verses later, Barnabas comes. He sees the grace of God. He sees these people coming together for the gospel. And he's like, wow, this is awesome. This church started with Jews coming and Jews saying, Gentiles aren't getting the gospel. These people came from a different place, came to Antioch and said, no, we're sharing the message of Jesus because the gospel is the most important thing. This is how the church started. Now, in Acts chapter 11, now let's go to Acts chapter 13. It will be on the screen. And let's see the church sending out missionaries. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. Verse number 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Paul and Saul, which are Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Verse number 3, the Bible says, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So we see a church, in verse number 2, we see a place where ministry is happening, we see fasting happening, we see the church being the church doing what God wants them to do, and then in verse number 3, we see God calling out missionaries from there. Now this was a church that was connected and unified, because you don't pray and fast with people that you're not connected with and unified with. This was not a church of people that just kind of showed up and checked off their 1 hour on a Sunday morning and said, okay, I'm not having relationships. This was a church of people that were unified. This was people that genuinely cared for one another. These were people that took their relationships with other Christians seriously. And guess what God's Spirit does? God's Spirit in that church, in a healthy church, he says, I want to take two people and I want them to go to a different place and I want them to share the gospel. Now you look at that and you're like, yeah, that's missionaries. Yeah, that makes sense. But they didn't know what missionaries was, what they were. We're seeing the other side of Acts chapter 13. They didn't understand the concept. People didn't go to Antioch to share the gospel. They came to Antioch. If they didn't go, they were going to die. They had no other choice. And now they're in Antioch, and God says, yeah, I want those two guys to go to a different place and share the gospel. What do you mean you want two guys to leave this church? That doesn't make any sense. I would have loved to have been in like the church announcement time during that time. Oh yeah, church, Barnabas and Saul, they're leaving the church and they're going to go share Jesus to a different place. That was unheard of. That didn't happen. But you have a church here that they rallied around them. Verse number 3, they fasted and prayed and they sent them away. This was a church that could have been selfish and said, Barnabas and Saul, those are pretty good guys. We like them. No. They rallied around them. They said, we've never seen missions. We don't know what this is all about, but we're going to rally around them. We're going to pray, and we are going to send off missionaries. This church is being introduced to a new concept of sharing the gospel in other places. They respond, and because of that, the world is changed forever. I got two simple thoughts tonight of the church that God sends missionaries from. The church that God sends missionaries from. Notice number one, it's an obedient church sent missionaries. It was an obedient church that sent missionaries. This is a church that's doing what God wants them to do. Listen, we cannot handpick missionaries and say, you're going to be a missionary, you're going to be a missionary. We can't do that. That's what God does. By the way, if we are doing things because somebody tells us to and our heart's not in it, it's not going to last very long. It's not going to. Paul and Barnabas, they didn't go because it was like they felt pressure. It was the Holy Spirit working in them. And when we're a church that's obedient, we don't have to put pressure on you. That's what the Holy Spirit works in your heart. And the Holy Spirit said, Paul, Barnabas, I want to use you to go to a different place. See, the church's job is not to send missionaries. The church's job is to be obedient and let God send the missionaries. It's the Holy Spirit that does the work in the hearts and lives of people. Sometimes I hear of people that are places where there's all this pressure to conform and look this certain way and do this thing. And it's like, that is not healthy. That is not a New Testament model. It's the Holy Spirit moving in hearts. I found this, I can do a whole lot more on my knees praying for somebody than trying to pressure somebody. I can do a whole lot more praying for somebody than trying to pressure somebody. And this is a church that they're doing what they're supposed to do. They're loving each other. They're serving. They're praying. This is a church that even fasts. Now, that's pretty serious. To go without food? I mean, hey, if I miss lunch, I think I'm dying. Like, I like to eat. This is a church. They fast. They're an obedient church. And guess what God does? In this obedient church, I want to call two people out to be missionaries. I'm thankful that in the last 15 years, God has called some missionaries out of our church. Greg Kern is now in Elk Grove preaching the gospel, and he's still there, has a church out there preaching Jesus to people. And he was a normal person in our church, just like all of us. He served like many of us. He was in a class like many of us. He was in a group. And guess what God said? God said, I want to use you, Greg, and I want to use your wife, Amanda, and I want you guys to go and preach over there. I want you to share Jesus over there. I think of the Plawless families there in Europe sharing the message of Jesus with people. Just normal people that God said, hey, I want to use you, and God called them from a local church. Here's what I'm trying to say. As our church, we can't make missionaries come out of here. We're not asking you to be to go be a missionary, but this is what we can be as a church. We can be obedient. We can pray. We can love one another. We can be faithful to this place. And if God, in His grace, sends some missionaries out of here, we can say, praise be to Him for that. I don't know about you, but I look at this city, and we're in really a strategic place. I can't stand traffic. How many of you guys are with me? You can't stand traffic? Traffic is of the devil, I'm convinced. I'm like, why can't they just have like 25 lane interstates so there's no more traffic, you know? But I think traffic shows there's lots of people. And I think where we're located is we're within an hour or 2 hours of pretty much every place in the Bay Area on most days. Sacramento in that area, we're an hour or so away from all that. And I think we're strategically located where if God would use this church, we could be a place that could send out church planners, or we could be a place that there's church planners there and we could go and help them and love them and minister to them, and they would just be a drive. We could drive an hour and a half. We could spend a couple hours there and help them show love to their city, and we could come back in half a day and still be home in time for lunch. We could do some of this because of our strategic location. And I'm just wondering, folks, tonight, if God might use you and God might use me as a church to say, we're going to be obedient to God and we're going to pray that God would use us to influence this region with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can sit here and we can get mad at everything that's going on, but that's not going to change anything. We can sit here and we can say, oh, the election, oh, you know what we need to do? We need to love people and pray for people and say, God, what can we do? That's what's a Facebook post about Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton isn't going to change things. It's probably just going to make the other side mad. But what is going to change people is when we love them and when we show grace to them and when we pray that the Holy Spirit of God could do something in this place. And I believe this. If we will be an obedient church, it doesn't matter how much you know. It doesn't matter how much Bible knowledge you have. It doesn't matter any of that. If we will be an obedient church that loves one another, that loves Jesus, that loves the Word of God, that God could do something in here that we wouldn't have to manipulate, we wouldn't have to work up. And this isn't about telling somebody or posting something. This is about just God using Calvary to influence this region for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because that's why God has called us here. And God chose Antioch because they were obedient. I can't be obedient for you, you can't be obedient for me. But I believe we can be obedient in what God's called us to do. Notice number two, and we're done tonight. It was an obedient church that sent missionaries. It was a gospel-focused church that sent missionaries. It was a gospel-focused church that sent missionaries. As a church, we can focus on a lot of things. We can focus on a lot of different things happening in society. I know there are churches today that I know exactly what they preached about this morning, and it wasn't Jesus. I know there are a lot of churches that can focus on a lot of things. In Antioch, we see a church that's focused on one thing, the gospel. They don't have time to argue about different things. They don't have time to pick apart other church members. They don't have time to complain about all this stuff. No, they had a heart to, this is the gospel. And we have the gospel. In this church of people, they focus on the gospel. I wonder if the people at Antioch were actually thankful for persecution. You know, sometimes we fear persecution and we fear things that's going to happen. And I'm with you. I'm not excited about hearing about persecution. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. But I do know that there are other countries that Christians are very much being persecuted. If you study it out, it's very fascinating and very sad. We need to pray for our Christian brothers and sisters that are in persecution places. But you think of why the gospel went to Antioch. It didn't go because the Jews in Jerusalem and these different people were like, let's go share the gospel there. No, they went there because they said, I don't want to die. And they go to Antioch, and people in Antioch get saved. Now, you think those Christians in Antioch that got saved because of those people that were escaping persecution, you think they sat there and said, man, persecution's terrible. Nero and the government, oh, it needs to change. No, they were faithfully focused and fixed on the gospel. That's what they were about. You see Paul standing before some individual government leaders and trying to share his faith, but you never see the church preaching against the government or trying to change all that. You don't see that. They didn't have time for that. They knew what was going to change the world, and it was going to be Jesus Christ. So the church was centered around the gospel. And because they were centered around the gospel, they were open to the idea of doing something new, of taking these Paul and Barnabas, these missionaries as we know them, and going to a different place. As a church and as Christians, we're going to decide what are we going to center our lives around. We're going to decide as individuals, what will my life be centered around? We can center our lives around career success. And I need to go up the corporate ladder. I need to have more. We can center our lives around getting more things and going on more vacations and being more comfortable. We can do that. Or we can center our lives around the gospel. You know, it blows my mind every time when I look at I look at a lot of times really good people that are just like us. They're in need of a savior, and they have everything the world has to offer. Everything. Money, fame, you name it. But yet they still aren't happy. That blows my mind. Like, it blows my mind how people can have anything they want, no holds barred, and they're still not happy. What even is crazy, though, is sometimes I get the mentality of thinking, if I just have this thing, then I'll be happy or my life will be better. When the people that have that very thing aren't happy, and they seem they want more and more in their life. It's an endless cycle. Because the human heart is never content. That's why Paul says, with food and raiment, let us therewith be content. We can focus our lives around a lot of things. But the only thing that will last for eternity is the gospel. You know, as Christians, God wants to give us peace and hope and joy. He wants to give us real peace and real hope and joy. And I think how many times in my heart am I looking for something other than Jesus to give me peace, hope, and joy? If I just have this, then... And the crazy thing is, a lot of times I'm blind to my own spiritual blindness. Like, I think I'm okay. Like, I think I'm good. I think I'm a spiritual person because I let me give you my rule list of the Christianity that I did and all the things that I know. And sometimes the Holy Spirit gives us moments in our lives, aha moments, where it's like, wow, what am I really living for? What does my life really look like? Where is my heart really at? What is my heart really focusing on? I can show up here and I can preach a halfway decent message. And I can look good and you can think that I'm the best person ever. And my heart can be so far away from here and so far away from God, it's not even funny. Have you ever been there? Have you ever looked the part, but like the Pharisees, our heart was far from him? You know, in times like that, run to Jesus. Tell him where your heart is. Jesus is not going to get mad at, God the Father is not going to get mad at you for that. He's not. This is why. Because when Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for our sins, he put all of his wrath on Jesus. All of his wrath on Jesus. Every ounce of wrath he had, he put it on Jesus. And when you believe on Jesus, his wrath is no more on you. You can live free. So when we come moments in our lives where our heart just isn't right, we don't have to run from him. We can run to him because he's not mad at us. Jesus already took that from us. And I can run to Jesus and I don't have to be in shame. I don't have to say, man, he's not going to get me, because Jesus already paid the full penalty for our sins and the full penalty for our guilt and for our shame and for our sorrow. You know, the gospel is good news because it says that Jesus accepts you unconditionally. The gospel is good news because God doesn't keep a checklist for us to make him happy. Jesus fulfilled the checklist. And when there are times in my life, and there are, where my heart is not right, in those times, I don't have to run away from Jesus and just try to, this is what I should do. I can humbly come to Jesus and say, God, you already know my heart and you still accept me. Will you please change me? And this is a church of people that I believe, they had a soft heart towards Christ. And they had a soft heart and they were allowing the Holy Spirit to work. And because of that, they were a church that was focused on the gospel. And what did God do? God sent missionaries out of that church. In the last 3 minutes of tonight, what is the result of a church that's obedient and that's focused on the gospel? They send missionaries. But what is the result of that? Paul went to dozens and dozens of cities, we know, with the gospel. I had my Bible, and you guys have the maps in the back of your Bibles. You guys have those? I was like, all right, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to count all the cities that Paul went to. I dare you guys to do that tonight when you get home. I was like, I'm going to try to count all these different cities that Paul went to. After like 30, I just lost track and I just gave up. And I was like, I think I already counted that one. He went to all these, all over the place. It's believed, the smart theologians believe, that he went as far as Spain. Like, Paul went everywhere. And for most of us in this room, if you were to trace back your spiritual lineage, it would go back to Paul. Because Paul went all over Europe, sharing the gospel. Those churches started churches that went all over Europe. And guess where a lot of us get our spiritual heritage from? Europe. How did Europe first hear about the gospel? Because of Paul. Where did Paul come from? An obedient church, a gospel-focused church. Would it be that 2,000 years from now, we don't know when Jesus is coming back, would it be that 2,000 years from now, there would be people that would be 2,000 or 3,000 miles away or 10,000 miles away and say, we actually got our spiritual heritage, and they traced it back to a group of people in Fairfield that were obedient, that were focused on the gospel, that weren't worried about all this stuff going on in the world, and they weren't worried about what this church did or that church did, but what God wanted them to do. Because of that, we have the gospel. Folks, most of us sit here tonight because of a church that was obedient, that was focused on the gospel. Guys, I think we can be a church that's like that. I think we can. We're just normal people. We all have real problems. We all have real struggles. We all do. But we can be a church that says, God, I want to be obedient to you in my life. When I'm not obedient, I'm going to run to you and I'm going to ask you to change me. And I'm going to be focused on what matters. I'm going to be focused on the gospel. In church, I believe that we can be the church that God says, I want to send some people out of. And I'm going to impact a region and a world the life-changing, hope-giving message of the gospel. Would you join me in a word of prayer together?